Blog Talk Radio.
There's a train leaving from Calvary, and it's going to Salvation Station. I'm gonna jump that train, gonna jump that train, gonna jump that train. Today, leave it all behind, 'cause where we going, they don't take that kind. God, gonna jump that train, gonna jump that train, I'm gonna jump that train.
Hallelujah, New World Sun this morning and Salvation Station. We're going to reach that station one day. Hallelujah. Brother Lewis say, train bound for glory. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going on home. All of this will be over with. All glory to His Majesty. Yes, yes. Our days will be over and our nights will be over. No more crying, dying, sickness, sadness. None of that anymore. We have made it home because this is our workstation here. And we're working unto the Lord. And when our work is done, He's going to call us home. To a place of rest and happiness and peace and joy. And all of this that we love, that we should love, and that we want. So we're grateful unto Him this morning. Almighty God who have all power. Hallelujah. There's no higher power today. And all power is on our side. And He said in His word, if He be for us, He is more than the whole world against us. So no matter what go on, it's going to work together for our good because He's on our side. And He's the God that can turn any and everything around to work its best for us. And so I'm so grateful unto him this morning, and I thank God for his many blessings, his many miracles that he worked in our lives. And no matter what go on, we just don't worry about it. Tell God about it and let it go. If we can but let go, we'll get to see the move of Almighty God in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This morning we're going to talk about, should Christians celebrate Halloween? Should we celebrate this? And we're going to look back at some things and how they say all of this started and this kind of thing. And today, what's going on? Because as a child, you know, we don't know any better. And so we do things that children do. The scripture says folly is in the heart of a child. In other words, foolishness and fun and playing, you know, they're not like adults. And so when we're young, you know, all we see is the candy. We see the costumes, the dress up. And later on in life, I even notice adults doing it. And I'm like, grown people trick-or-treating up, doing a Halloween stuff. For some reason, even as a child, I knew better. Yeah, Brother Lewis said, no, he don't celebrate Halloween, but he won't care. The Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, sir, and I like them candy corns. I really do. But I tell you, it's not what we do. But when I think on Halloween, I think of scary stuff, frightening stuff, horror. This is what I think of. And God has not given us the spirit of fear. Mm-mm. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. So we have the mind to know the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, evil and good. So if I have the Spirit of God living in me, and I'm his, and he said to be ye holy, but I am holy, I want to do the things that are holy, the things that are good, nothing evil, nothing fearful. Yeah. Why would I want to be scared? Why would I go to a movie, a horror movie? Why would I do that? I can't do it because I have a sound mind. But if I don't have a sound mind, then I would like all these kind of things, to be scared, to ride roller coasters and all kind of stuff that's going to make me scream and all of this. No, 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 no. God really is a God of order. Hallelujah. And he's given us what we need if we would just accept what he has given us, you know, and accept what he allowed and move on. Yeah. And we're in the world again today, but we're not of the world. So we don't follow what the world is following. We don't do what the world is doing. We've been set aside because we are peculiar people. We are of a royal priesthood. It makes us different. Yeah, and we love being different because we realize being different, we're in our Savior, we're in Jesus, and he's in us. And what we do is to please him and not our flesh, and the world haven't gotten there yet. Hallelujah. And so we thank God this morning for being on our side in spite of us looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our need today. Hallelujah. So we're grateful unto him. We're going to prayer, and after prayer we're going to one more song of the morning, and we're coming back to talk about our scripture of the day and to talk about should Christians or believers celebrate Halloween. Yeah, and if you have something you would like to add, please feel free to press that number one and come in and share with us what you think about Halloween. Hallelujah. And today we're going to do the name contest for those who want to see if they can call the names off and get it right. Yeah. Ah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning thanking you for another Monday morning. Father, we thank you for waking us up, closing our right minds. Thank you for the use and activity of our limbs. Thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. And Father, many days, things don't work out right. It don't work out the way that we desire. Some days they're troubled. Some days our minds and hearts are troubled. But we yet look to the hill from which cometh our help. Father, all our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. And Father, there's nothing too hard for you to do. With you, all things are possible. And we're leaning and depending on you. For we know no other who love us in the way that you love us, who care for us in the way that you care. And this morning, we come before you full of thanksgiving unto you, full of glory and honor for you, for your almighty God who have all power. Jehovah, there is no higher power today. Hallelujah. And we thank you this morning for all you've done for us, for what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do. Great and mighty things for us. We're your people. We come this morning, Father, asking that those who have not received you, that God, you would speak to their hearts and minds and show them what to do, even give them what to say. And Father, if they come before you, you will in no wise cast them out. No matter what their sins have been, no matter what their wrongdoings have been, you will not cast them away, but you will embrace them in. And Lord, if they're willing to learn of you, God, you would teach them your ways. Help this morning, oh God, so many are suffering and so many have fallen by the wayside. So many have looked into the world more than into your spirit and seeking you. And Father, trouble have come up upon them. But we ask this morning that, Father, you would draw them back unto you. For we realize you're married to the backslider. Move this morning in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. And Father, we know you love us all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You sent your only begotten Son to suffer, to hang, to bleed, to die, to conquer all and rise with all power. Father, it was you that found a way to redeem us, man, back to you. So we need your help this morning, for without you we can do nothing. We can't make it without you. Move today here by your spirit, oh God, for the sake of your people. Open up our wisdom, our knowledge and understanding here today. Give it to us. Your word says, if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraideth not. And this morning we're asking you for wisdom, oh God. For there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And Father, we don't want to be destroyed. But God, we want to grow in you. We want to lift up your name in the earth, Father, because it's you that will draw men unto you. Help us today, oh God, to be lifters up in the earth. Those that will lift you up in season and out of season, that others may be drawn unto you. But Father, we realize time is winding up. And now, like never before, it's time for us to seek you with our whole heart, like we have never sought after you before. It's time for us to talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. But Lord, again, so many are perishing. So many are falling by the wayside. But help us today, oh God, to stand strong in you. Help us to continue to look to the hills. Help us to continue to seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. In the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Father, I come asking that you would bless every caller and every listener, every household represented here, every family member, every friend, oh God, those that are near and far. Help this morning. Again, we can't do nothing without you. Father, today, those that are sick here, we ask that you would touch and heal, for you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Father, you even raise the dead. So we ask this morning that you would do it for your people. In the a total healing, oh God, from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet today. Move by your spirit and healing for your people. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. And Father, we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. This morning, bless widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere, Father, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Continue to loose your protecting angels, Father, to stand watch, to shield, and protect. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Remember our brothers and sisters overseas this morning. Father, you know what they stand in the need of today. We ask that you would meet the need according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. Bless their children. You know what their children need. Lord, bless their household. Some need more, oh God. We ask that you would supply this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, bless America and the leadership of America. Have mercy this morning on every American, oh God. Lord, every leadership, every White House member, oh God, have mercy this morning. And Father, I ask that you would stir them up and allow them to know nothing goes on that you don't allow. And you're allowing some things right now. But Father, there's coming a time that you're going to command us all to repentance. And that God, if we are not there, then we don't belong to you. So help today those that are in leadership in this country in the name of Jesus. For Father, charity starts at home and spreads abroad. We ask this morning that you would bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here today. Move by your spirit, oh God, like never before. Let your word fall on good ground. Let nothing choke it out of your people. Lord, let nothing destroy it from your people, but that we would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. And God, those that have not received you, those that are even backslidden, help them this morning, oh God, to come back to you wholeheartedly in the name of Jesus. And Father, give us wisdom on Halloween, oh God. And Lord, we will walk according to your word, not according to our flesh. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for hearing, and we thank you for answering this morning. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his majesty. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Can't say thank you enough. Father, if we had 10,000 tongues and we began to praise you with everyone, it just wouldn't be enough. Hallelujah. For you're more than we need. We thank you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for hearing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have the opportunity to come before you and pray, commune, and fellowship with you. We thank you this morning, all that you're able to do what we are requesting of you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Father, there's none like you. You're more than worthy. Oh, we can't give you enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his majesty. Oh, we thank the master this morning. He's our Lord and master, and we're grateful unto him, and we're so thankful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And today we're going to be talking about, should Christians or believers celebrate Halloween? Yeah, is it something we should be doing? Yeah. Should we be a part of this stuff? Yeah. And so we look to him for answers. And God will answer us. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So we're going to our next song of the morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with our topic of the day. Again, should Christians or believers celebrate Halloween? Hallelujah. Let's go with this one this morning.
Come on, everybody, get your feet happy. Let's go. Come on.
Encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, Mr. Jason Nelson this morning. I believe today. I believe in God. I believe that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. And our topic this morning is simply, should Christians celebrate Halloween? Should believers celebrate Halloween? And, you know, I've kind of shared this with many, and sometimes people get upset because, you know, they feel like it's my thing. I do what I want to do. You know, you saying God, God, but I'm saying me, me, my, and I. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm teaching my children they can do. Yeah, I was one that did not bring my children up to celebrate Halloween. From what I've looked at, you know, they're telling me that it started from being a holiday of saints. And they brought it to America. And so what I found in the history of factual entertainment brand is called. And it says Halloween is a holiday celebrated each year on October 31st. And Halloween 2021 will occur on Sunday, October 31st. The tradition originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time of honor, a time to honor All Saints. Soon, All Saints Day incorporated some of the tradition of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve, and later Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick or treating, carving jack-o'-lanterns, festive gatherings, donning costumes, and eating treats. And it's all kind of things. And it says Halloween comes to America. And the celebration of Halloween was extremely limited in colonial New England because of the rigid Protestant belief system there. Halloween was much more common in Maryland and the southern colonies. As the beliefs and custom of different European ethnic groups and the American Indian mashed distinctively American version of Halloween began to emerge. The first celebration included play parties, which were public events held to celebrate the harvest. Neighbors would share stories of the dead, tell each other fortunes, dance, and sing. And so, this is just, according to scripture, it's not a holy holiday. So if it's not a holy holiday, I'm thinking it shouldn't be a holiday that the Christians or the believers would celebrate. Now, that's just my personal opinion. And again, people feel like it's my thing. I do what I want to do, you know. And if I feel like God is okay with it, then whoever else don't like it, that's up to you. But we must make our calling and election sure with Almighty God. And what I recommend to people is that they pray and get an answer from the Lord. If any man like wisdom, this is what James chapter 1 verse 5 says, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraideth not. So if you're saying you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, you're a believer, then you want to pray and ask God, should I celebrate Halloween? But it brings me to this as well. He said to be ye holy, for I am holy. And if it's a holy thing, then he gave us power, he gave us love, and a sound mind. So we're not going to seek after evil, horror, death, sacrifices. We're not going to do that. So I looked over at 2 Timothy, and I looked at chapter 1, and I'll start from verse 1 and read down to verse 7. And I might go a little further, but it says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers, pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I called to remembrance the unframed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gifts of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we may go a little further in the scriptures of 2 Timothy chapter 1. But I also looked over at Philippians 3 and 2, and it talks about beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. I looked at some other stuff, you know, Proverbs chapter 10 and 29, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the worker of iniquity. So anything that's not of God, I see it as evil. Because God is not a God of evil. He's not a God of wrongdoings. He's not a God that come to destroy people. But he sent his son, that Jesus, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. When we look at John 10 and 10, now it teaches us that the devil come but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his only purpose for coming. So when I look at Halloween, I look at these things, and I think on all of these things that I read to you, and I want to be right with God. I want to make my calling and election sure with him. And I'm doing it through his son, Jesus, because whatever petition I give to Jesus, it's him that take it to the Father on my behalf, because he's the mediator between myself and God. And again, you know, I want to make my calling and election sure with him, and so should every believer. So the question again this morning is, should Christians or believers celebrate Halloween? And I'd like to know your feedback on this. So at any time, please feel free to press that number 1 and come in and share with us this morning what you feel is right in celebrating of Halloween or not celebrating of Halloween. I had one sister to tell me, well, it's a pagan holiday, and we don't celebrate pagans' holiday. Well, I wanted to see, because I believe in celebrating holy holidays. And they said it started off being a holy holiday. But how many know that man will add his spin on things and turn it around? And that's like in the church today. They celebrate all these different anniversaries, and I couldn't find it in scripture. And just some things man just feel good about, and he didn't consult God, but yet he added, you know, he added this stuff. And many people, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't like the truth, you know, because it does not please their flesh. And even in celebrating Halloween and things, it's a fleshly thing. It's of the natural you, of the natural human being. And many times we add stuff because it feels good to us. But back to the Halloween. When I see that, I see ghosts. In many places, they call them goblins. They are sacrifices of blood and people, even animals. Scary things. The carving of pumpkins, and the way the pumpkin is carved, it's ugly. It's not nothing beautiful. So all of this to me is from the darkness. It's a dark thing. It's not a thing of light. And we want to be with that which is of light. So we go back to see and look again that Halloween comes to America. And it says that, did you know more people, especially millennials, are buying costumes for their pets? 20% did so in 2018, up from 16% in 2017. Colonial Halloween festivals also feature the telling of ghost stories and mischief making of all kinds. Now, we know that this is not of God. By the middle of the 19th century, annual autumn festivals were common, but Halloween was not yet celebrated everywhere in the country. This America. In the second half of the 19th century, America was flooded with new immigrants. These new immigrants, especially the millions of Irish fleeing the Irish potato famine, helped to popularize the celebration of Halloween nationally. Yeah. It goes on to talk about the history of trick-or-treating. Borrowing from European tradition, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, a practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treat tradition. Young women believed that on Halloween they could divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple paring, or mirrors. Yeah, see, it got a bit out of hand. So it says this, in the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghosts, pranks, and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. Parties focused on games, food of the season, and festive costumes. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything frightening or gruesome out of Halloween celebration. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 19th century. So what happened was now, they took all of, wanted to take all the evil out of it and just make it something good for the community. But that's not what's happening. I have a clip, a couple of clips I want you to listen to. And this guy here, he was into Satanism and all kind of stuff. And he's going to talk about this. And he said he baptized his daughter into it on Halloween. And he married, he had a lot to say. Yeah, and he said he's an ex-sadist. But now, you know, he served the true and living God through his son, Jesus. So let's take a listen.
Well, should Christians celebrate Halloween? Some believe it can be taken back like other holidays. But a former Satanist who is now a pastor says no, Christians should not celebrate it. I recently caught up with John Ramirez, and he had a strong warning for believers.
Tell us a little bit about where you were in relation to Satanism and worshiping the devil.
Well, 25 years, 8 years old, boy, little boy, 8 years old, demon church. I learned being trained by high-ranked devil worshippers, warlocks, and spiritual witches, turning me to know how to take over territory, demonic contracts, different demon territory, demons, principalities, first, second heaven. I was being trained all the way to the age of 35, sold my soul to the devil, got married on Halloween, had a demonic wedding on Halloween. I baptized my daughter to the dark side at the age of 11. So that was my whole entire life. I mean, I breathed, ate, and slept witchcraft.
Wow.
Astral projecting. I would astral project over a region, leave my body, astral project, curse the region, because if I can curse the region, I can capture the people.
Knowing what you came from and what you used to do, you're pretty discouraged that you see Christians celebrating Halloween. Why?
I don't know how you can cheat on God. I don't know how you can cheat on the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't see Satan as coming on Good Friday and coming and hanging out with us, right? You know, I got married on Halloween and had a demonic wedding. Why would you put your kids, your family, why would you put your purpose, your destiny, why would you put your whole eternity in a demonic altar?
But people say it's just fun, candy, kids are having costumes on.
The candy, you know, I never shared this before, but this candy, people from different walks of life pray over these candies, witchcraft. They pray over the candies. You knock on people's door, you don't know the person that you knock on door, she's a witch. Okay, you don't know she's a witch, she's doing Wicca, she's practicing New Age, and you knock on her door and you come in legal rights of this witch or this wall, or this person is practicing this stuff, giving you this kind of candy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're taking that stuff home, you put that stuff into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And on top of that, I'm Tom Levine said, out of his mouth, you know, he was the ruler of the Church of Satan,
mm-hmm.
right? Out of his mouth, he said, I want to thank every Christian parent for allowing their child to celebrate Halloween one time a year, the devil's holiday. And it took Adam and Eve to lose everything because of one mistake.
Mm.
It took Esau one circumstance to lose his birthrights.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So why would you bring that kind of curse into your house and curse your family from 3 to 4 generations? So when your kids is 5 and you think it's cool, you dress them up. Once you put a costume on someone, see, the trick of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were made in the image of God. They were made in God's perfect image, right? The devil tricked them with sin and changed their identity.
Yeah.
And once you put the costume on the kid, I don't care if you dress them up as Noah. I don't care if you dress them up as Abraham. Once you put this costume on Halloween, the birthright of Halloween, you're changing your kid's identity. The purpose of the destiny has been canceled unless you renounce it and bring it back. That is the trick of the devil.
Now that you're sharing, and you share this everywhere you go.
Everywhere I go, I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm not politically correct. I'd rather be right with God. You'd be mad with me, but at least you'll make heaven.
Yes.
You know, I mean, churches sometimes they get mad. They get mad with me. They get, oh, why are you saying that? Why are you talking that way? What, how should I talk? God told me to speak the truth. You know,
amen.
I'm just a mailman.
Amen. Now that you're a Christian, you're actually a minister of the gospel now.
Amen, yes.
You said that you're now in a season where in your life where you're saying, I want to pay the enemy back for all the darkness.
Oh, every,
my
25 years and plus. You know, I've gone to places that people manifest, the manifestations of demons, people casting out demons, healing the people. I mean, I'm living in the place today of the church of the Book of Acts, the powerful church, that
Amen.
Church that came out of the upper room.
Amen.
You know, that's where I'm living. People saying, sir, I was just talking to another sister. I was saying this Muslim lady came up to the altar. She had 4-stage cancer. She was a Muslim. She renounced Islam. She renounced the situation. She accepted Jesus. She went to the doctor. No trace of cancer. That's the God that I know.
Praise God.
That is the Jesus Christ I know.
He's the same.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Forever.
There's people that have come from the occult practices. You know, I've been in the occult. I did Ouija board. I did this. I practiced Wicca. I practiced New Age. You know, manifestation. People set free. And you see the transformation in their face. You see the love of Jesus Christ wrap around them. I mean, how much? That is priceless. I don't mind paying the price. I'm going to do that until God call me home. And when I leave, my sister, listen to me carefully. When I leave this world, I'll make Jesus Christ proud.
Amen.
And heaven will rejoice. Hell will rejoice because I left the battlefield.
Amen.
I play for keeps.
Amen. Amen.
I play for keeps. Give the devil a perm.
That's right. John Ramirez.
Man.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Taking
God
the time
you.
To talk
thank
with
you
us
so
today.
Much.
God bless you.
Pleasure.
Okay, now did we hear that? Send the children out to knock on doors, go from door to door asking for candy. And he said, we don't know what these people did, witches or whatever they are. And they did anything with candy and you take those spirits home and bring them in your house. I've seen churches that say they're not having Halloween night. They're having Holy Night or something to this effect. But for me, I didn't recognize it. I didn't honor it at all. I bought my kids candy all year long. I went to a bakery, what we called a surplus bakery, and they had all of these treats on sale. And this was all year long, and I had a deep freezer, and the kids go to the deep freezer, and they could pull out a honey bun, a cinnamon roll, whatever they desired. And you could pull that out and put it in the microwave. And you had your treat. It had nothing to do with Halloween. It wasn't in October. It could have been in February, you know. And that was, you know, always tried to have candy, a certain kind of candy there for them. I made homemade desserts because I knew what was in the food that I fed to my children, even the sweets. So when October 31st come, we were in the house. And you knock on the door, trick or treat, we never open the door. And I do that right now. Kids have come and rang the doorbell. I don't answer. Not on October 31st. Out on the main road to where I live, the cars are lined up. I'm talking about, I never saw it like that before. And they get the children out and the children go from door to door asking for candy or treats, you know, and you don't give them a treat. They usually egg your house or do something like that. But so far, God has blessed me that nothing like that has ever happened. But I've seen it done before. But we as the believers, we as the people of God, the saints of God, we don't want to be a part of anything that is not pleasing unto God or what God will not accept. And he just don't accept any old thing. When a sinner come to him, he's coming to him in repentance. So God receive him, and he will in no wise cast him out. If we, the believer, the saints of God, the people of God, we sin or we do wrong or we have shortcomings, when we go to repent, God receive us again. And guess what? Whatever we ask of forgiveness for, he forgive us. But he just don't accept any and every old thing. And again, he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And the sound mind tell me that anything that's not of him, I don't want any part of it. If he's not in it, I don't want any of it. Yeah, that's what my mind tell me. And I believe I have a sound mind. And I believe he gave me the spirit of love. He gave me the gift of love. The gift of caring, the gift of giving, the gift of good, the gift of right. Yeah, these are gifts that come from God. And I know many people, they chase after the gift of prophecy. But that gift of giving and that gift of love, oh my goodness, that will bless you so, oh my goodness. It will really bless you. So we want what's right with God. And this man here was a Satanist. A Satanist, whatever it is. I can't pronounce it right. But he knew some stuff. And he shared, John Ramirez, he shared what we never, probably never thought of. We never thought of your children going door to door to get candy and what kind of ritual had been, you know, spoken over the stuff or worked through the candy and give it to you and the spirits. They travel. spirits travel, they leap and jump. And you bring that in your house, you know, and your parents rambling through it. And I just couldn't send my children out door to door for candy and razor blades and something. Something may be poison in there. I don't know these people. They may have animals in the house and they're not clean. I can't trust all of that. So all year long, there were treats there. I introduced my children to chocolate truffles. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. With real cocoa powder on the outside. All year long. And at Christmas, they really got truffles. Yeah. So it was no need for when Halloween comes in to be like, oh, everybody is getting bags of candy and we don't have bags of candy. Well, you don't need a bag of candy. I have to take you to the dentist and thing. So you get those servings that I give to you as your mother to keep you healthy and to keep your teeth healthy. And I've seen churches hold some kind of thing in their parking lot where the children can go from car trunk to car trunk. I don't trust that either. Everybody in the house of God that's crying, Lord, Lord, they're not of him. So I wouldn't trust all of that. All year long, I would prepare for my children, make sure they had good snacks, healthy snacks, and make homemade stuff for them. And I would sit to the table and make crafts with them all year long. Valentine's Day, you know, we make each other hard because they would bring me stuff home they made at school. And I would sit to the table with them and we would make stuff for each other. Stuff I would put on the refrigerator. Kids, some of them would put it on the front door, all kind of things, you know. But we just wasn't into evil. And you heard him say it, that the man said he thanked the Christian parents at least once a year for sending their children to trick-or-treat, to believe in Halloween. Did you hear that? Yeah. I have one more I'd like for you to take a listen to. Let me find her. And she's sharing some stuff. She was into a cult, too, I believe. So let's take a listen.
Hi, this is Beth at The Other Side of Darkness. Check out my blog, theothersideofdarkness.com. where I talk about my testimony, walking in darkness, the occult, witchcraft, drug addiction, depression, and more, into a glorious relationship with Jesus Christ, who has totally redeemed me, and as you can see, wiped the darkness out of my life. Thank you, Jesus. So today I want to talk about Halloween and Christianity. So Halloween is kind of a taboo subject for Christians as far as talking about not celebrating it. There seems to be two camps in the thought of Halloween and Christians. One is there's absolutely nothing wrong with Halloween. It's all in good fun. Just don't celebrate the evil side and it's perfectly fine. And the other side says do not celebrate Halloween at all. It's totally evil. And I guess there is kind of a middle ground where some people say, well, don't celebrate it, but reach out to the lost with fall festivals at church and handing out tracts to trick-or-treaters. So I just wanted to speak a little bit about that because I know I have more experience with the darkness of Halloween and the evil side than I think some people do. And I just want to share that because I think it's really important and it's something that people need to know, Christian or not Christian. So as a witch, when I celebrated Halloween is a high holy day for Satanists and witches alike. And so I did not celebrate Halloween thinking it was evil. We didn't do sacrifices. We didn't hurt animals. And it seemed all in good fun. It was a day to celebrate the dead and to party. And it seemed perfectly good and fun. It wasn't until after I got into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ that I really started to realize how evil Halloween is. In the Bible, God speaks very clearly about not being involved in paganism, witchcraft, mediums, sacrificing children, and things of that nature. But what many people don't know is that Halloween is the high holy day for Satanists and witches and other occult members who actually hurt people and animals. They do things, it's not just on Halloween. Anton LaVey says that Halloween is the third most important holiday on their calendar. He, if you don't know, was the founder of the Church of Satan. He is now deceased. The Church of Satan is not deceased, though, and is alive and active. And Satanists actually love the fact that Christians celebrate Halloween because Halloween opens you up to your dark side. Now, I know a lot of Christians say that they don't celebrate the evil of Halloween, but the thing is that you really can't get away from the evil of Halloween. It is a day dedicated to Satan, evil, and death. So as I was saying, witches see Halloween not as evil, but as, you know, celebration of the dead and partying. But Satanists and other occultists see it as a day, yes, of the dead and partying, but to them, that means human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, ritual abuse such as beatings, and also sexual abuse. So it is very real that babies are being murdered, animals are being murdered, and other people, children and adults alike, are being abused. It's the real deal. And so Halloween, Easter, and Christmas time are huge pagan holidays that they do these kinds of rituals, but Halloween is one of the more important ones. And there are many people out there right now who, they come to this time of the year and it's so hard for them. Everywhere you go, just in my neighborhood stores, Halloween is everywhere. The evil is prevalent. The decorations I see, they are spiders, giant spiders, vampires, witches, ghosts, severed heads, human body parts, headstones, and things of that nature. I don't really see how you can find innocence in those decorations. I understand that you could dress up in costumes that you consider non-evil, such as princesses and superheroes and your favorite cartoon characters. But the fact is that I really want you to think about is that you can't separate yourself from the evil that Halloween is. To its very origins, Halloween is evil. If you trace Halloween all the way back to the ancient times, before Catholicism even, it has deep roots, and it is all based on celebrating other gods and goddesses, which, by the way, are demons in disguise, and sacrificing and abusing humans and animals. Now, fast forward to current day, you don't see, or it's not widely talked about, those horrifying things. Satan has made it very easy to ignore those things. And as a matter of fact, we are completely desensitized to evil, the devil, and his demons. But the spiritual realm is very real. And you are inviting evil into your life by participating in Halloween. Because God has clearly stated to us that we are to have no part of it. So when we have a part of it, we are signaling in the spiritual realm, which is all around us, unseen, that we're open. It's an open portal or gateway. I have been told that witches curse the Halloween candy, and I can only imagine what other curses are going on to Halloween costumes and whatnot. At this time of year, covens are very active, trying to place curses on different churches, and different individuals, especially individuals like myself who would speak out against Halloween. It's very serious. I take Halloween very seriously. It grieves me to the core, to my bones, which with immense sadness that Christians participate in Halloween. It's not something for Christians. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to step out of darkness. Our Savior has died and shed blood so that we can be redeemed, so that we don't have to be enslaved to hell. So why are we celebrating and playing and having fun on a day that is dedicated to Satan and that is about death and decay? It just really, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And I just want to stop and pray right now. Lord Jesus, I pray that anyone who watches this video is covered by the blood of Jesus. I pray that you would just penetrate every heart and soul with your word right now and your truth, God. That you would divide anything that I have said that is untrue away from the truth. And that you would take each person that watches this video and give them great blessings in your favor, God. We love you and we praise your mighty name, Jesus, for you are our wonderful Savior. You are the sacrifice, the last sacrifice, and the only sacrifice that ever need be done. And by your shed blood and your work on the cross, we can live eternally in joy, truth, light, and hope. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. We love you. So I just want you to know that I have no condemnation for what you do or what you have done, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And Jesus does not condemn you if you have celebrated Halloween or do celebrate it now. He only asks with love, as I ask, and urge that you stop and think more about Halloween and celebrating it. Even fall festivals, I really urge you to rethink that. I've had people tell me, it's fine to not celebrate Halloween. We can celebrate fall instead. Fall is great. But I have to ask you this. Why are you celebrating fall? Which other season do you have parties and celebrate? I've never heard of a spring celebration or festival, winter festival. We don't do those. Why is it you feel so called? Why is the pull to celebrate fall so strong? And it's really not just Halloween, it's a whole season where we take up celebrating. All of October, pumpkin patches, pumpkin carving, decorating our houses with leaves and ghosts and pumpkins and fall colors. And I have to ask you to think and ask yourself and pray and ask God, why is it the urge is there so strong? This is a time of year when witchcraft increases greatly. I'm not saying you should be afraid of witchcraft. I'm not saying you should fear the devil. And I'm not saying you should fear Halloween. Quite the opposite. If you've been saved by Jesus Christ, there is no fear. You, by his blood, have defeated the devil. You have the power and authority to trample on the serpent and crush him under your heel. But I ask you, can you glorify God by celebrating Halloween? I do not think so. Actually, I do think so. You can glorify God by not celebrating Halloween. And I say this to you. If you don't celebrate Halloween and you stand up for the truth of what Halloween is and spread the word and other Christians stop celebrating Halloween, or even people who are not Christian stop celebrating Halloween just on the premise that they refuse to participate in a time where people are being murdered, think of what that would do to the devil. That would make him so mad. And I want to make him mad. Because I tell you what, the devil tried to steal my joy, kill my life, and trample on me for most of my life. But look what God has done for me and you too. So give him a black eye and step away from Halloween, away from fall festivities. And pray, and just pray. We are called to be a part or a separate from this world, to not conform, to be transformed, to be renewed, to be holy. And it is hard. It's very hard. Not because I miss out on Halloween, because I don't. I can eat candy or let my kids dress up in a costume lots of other times of the year. It doesn't have to be October or even October 31st. I could stop one day of the year and not participate in dressing up, going to parties, or eating candy. It doesn't even bother me. What bothers me is that sometimes it feels very lonely. But I've prayed and prayed and I said, God, Are you sure that we're supposed to separate ourselves from Halloween and all the activities? And time again, I continually hear, yes. So, I just urge you to pray. I thank you so much for taking the time
to describe this story as horrifying would be an understatement. And if that sounds like a warning, then that's exactly what it's meant to be. It deals with the sexual abuse of children by satanic cults. And not only that, human sacrifices as well. We started investigating these secret satanic cults when a British Member of Parliament linked them with the ritual murder of children. In this day and age, it sounded too far-fetched, as did suggestions that the same thing might be happening in Australia. But then we met Teresa. She's only 15, and for 12 of those years, she's been the victim of relentless depravity. Teresa's story is both shocking and compelling, yet it's a story she's anxious to tell. But again, we should warn you that parts of this report may be distressing.
Friends of family and strangers and our family used to rape me. Abort the babies I had.
It would be hard to imagine more misery and suffering than what Teresa says she's had to endure.
And us kids would be made to do things with the adults and the animals. And then a sacrifice would happen.
The sacrifice? Were these animal sacrifices?
Animals and people.
On what scale do you think this was happening?
Enormous, far beyond what we've ever heard of here before.
Teresa's mother, Bridget.
You're talking about mass murder?
Yes, on a scale that this country's never heard of before.
Like the old people's homes now, I mean, there's a...
For the first time, Teresa is learning what it's like to live with love instead of fear.
Pretty though.
In this quiet English village, with the help of her mother, she's slowly repairing her broken life. Teresa is now 15, but at the age of 2, she was left in the care of this woman, the grandma she called Nan. And that, she says, is when her torment started.
Who was the leader? Who was the boss of the gang, of the cult?
At home, it was my Nan.
Your Nan made you have sex with animals?
Yeah. Like goats and donkeys.
The story of Teresa is a story almost too horrible to recount. A case of child abuse that goes well beyond the kind of things we normally associate with the abuse of children. In 27 years of reporting, it has to be one of the most painful stories I have ever had to tell.
How many men or how many people would have sex with you?
Well, at one time.
Yes.
But everyone who was there, which must have been about 20, you know, from 10 to 20 people. If it was a big ceremony, it used to be 30.
What would your grandma be doing when these men were forcing themselves on you?
Usually laughing or smiling. Or having sex with another man or other men.
A chronicle of debauchery and depravity so horrific it's hard to believe. You have to ask yourself, could Teresa be just making it up?
No. I know what's true and what's not. No, I know what I saw.
Children don't make up elaborate lies that this would have to be if it was a lie, which I know it is not. It isn't.
This couldn't be a terrible dream, a nightmare that you're reliving.
No. It's no dream. It's a nightmare, but it's not one you can wake up from. It's there all the time.
This really happened. You're quite sure of that?
Yeah.
The police don't think Teresa made up a story.
some of the cult members are to stand trial. Five men have been charged with rape. As for Nan, the grandmother, she's 61 and lives in this council flat in South London. She's charged on 7 counts of aiding and abetting rape and 2 counts of performing abortions on Teresa. If you're finding this hard to believe, so did I at first, but then there are the medical reports, evidence of sustained sexual abuse. And there's this, a statement prepared for 60 Minutes by Teresa's psychiatrist. It says, in my opinion, Teresa's account is not the product of a psychotic illness, nor the figment of a fertile imagination. I believe her to be telling the truth. We also took Teresa's story to this man, therapist Ray Wire. He reads a transcript of our interview and listens to her voice.
It's no dream.
Few people, if any, in Britain have counselled as many victims of satanic abuse or Satanists themselves as Ray Wire has. If there is an expert on satanic cults, it would have to be him.
Do you believe Teresa's story?
I believe Teresa's story. It's exactly the same story as I've heard from men who says they've done it.
You've dealt with other cases like hers?
Yes.
21 cases like hers, he says, in the past 2 years alone.
Themes like they were put in boxes with spiders and worms, where they were trapped in fear, where there was a high use of excrement and urine, where there was talk of human sacrifice.
Take just one of those rituals, putting children in boxes with spiders and worms. Now, listen to what Teresa told her mother.
And they had a coffin-like box that children were put in with spiders and snakes and the lid shut and left in there. I would have come out deranged. I could not have coped with that mentally at all.
You have evidence to back up stories like Teresa's, that this is really happening?
Well, we have that age of child, 6, 5 and 4, giving information that ties up with Teresa. How do those children know? How do those children able to describe rituals, to talk about ceremonies, to talk about sacrificing animals? How do those children know?
Nightmares, imagining it?
You can't imagine those things at 3 and 4 years old, and you also don't have the evidence of anal sex abuse and oral sex abuse and all that other abuse that clearly those children have experienced and endured.
During these ceremonies, was Satan, the devil, ever referred to?
He was called Lucifer.
What did they say about the devil, about Lucifer?
That killing the people made him happy.
Sacrifices to please the devil. According to Teresa, the worst rituals took place at a house somewhere in the country.
It was big, you know, expensive. From the front, it looked like a castle. You know, it had a long drive and big double wooden doors.
Do you think they were rich people then?
Very rich.
Now, where was this big house somewhere in the country? Teresa says she can't take the police there because the Satanists made sure she'd never know how to find it.
Teresa was always drugged, or on a couple of occasions she says she was knocked out. She never fully knew the route.
There was a tramp who was brought in once, you know, and he was killed. He was cut from his throat down to his stomach. And they ate him, or bits of him.
They killed a man at a ceremony?
Yeah.
In front of you?
Yeah, in front of all of us.
Did the tramp... Did this man fight back?
No, I think he was, you know, drunk or something. He seemed really dopey. He was laughing a lot when he was brought in. And He started screaming when they began to cut. But after a while, you know, he died. I'd seen a few killings before then. Although I wasn't used to it, that was the worst one. I really don't know what I thought. I suppose I thought, thank God it's not me.
Let me get this right now. Are you saying that you saw more than one person killed in that house?
Yeah. I've seen loads of babies killed there. Just newborn babies. Or aborted ones, which were only small. You know, 4-year-olds. Any age, really.
Did they ever say they might kill you?
They threatened to kill my little girl, who, when I left, was still at the house.
A friend?
Huh?
What little girl?
My little girl, Alex. She's about 4 now.
You mean you had a child?
Yeah.
How old were you when you had that child?
11.
Motherhood at the age of 11.
Never talked
about it. But from what Teresa told her mother, it wasn't the only pregnancy.
We think about 7 or 8 times. It's hard to say. It was constantly happening from the time she was capable of being pregnant.
What happened to the pregnancy, to the babies?
They were aborted by my nan or by one of the doctors at the house.
There were doctors there at that house?
Yeah, there was 2, I think. Yeah, and a nurse.
What would happen to the fetuses, the unborn babies?
They used to be taken away most of the time, and one time baby was taken out of me and then killed in front of me because it was still alive.
And then what would happen?
Well, after they killed it, they would eat it. Well, we were also made to eat it.
You were made to eat your own fetus?
Yeah.
Who made you do this?
My nan.
You'd think the one person in the world you could leave a little girl with would be Grandma. Someone to give her love and protect her from harm. Yet when Teresa was left to live with her grandmother, they might as well have handed her to the devil himself.
Grandmothers, I mean, the vision it conjures up for you, a sweet old lady, grey hair, rosy cheeks, holding her arms out to love her grandchildren. And it was exactly the reverse.
But why was Teresa living with Nan in the first place and not with her mother?
Well, when my first marriage broke up, I took the children with me and couldn't cope. So I gave them to their father, who in turn moved to his mother's.
And to Nan's place?
Yeah. And when he left the Nan's place, he left the children there.
How do you feel now towards her grandma and the other people who did all those things to your daughter?
They disgust me. They are the worst form of life this earth has had the misfortune to create. Vile.
Did you ever try to run away? You must have been frightened.
A couple of times I did, but my uncle, he caught me and brought me back.
Going to the police? Did that occur to you?
No. I thought it was normal, you know, even though I didn't like it. You know, you don't like to eat greens, but I thought it was just her being called to be kind or something like that.
She said to me it was something that everybody did. she thought, you know. Like, you don't like going to school or the dentist. You don't like going to the black masses.
It was never any different. I didn't have nothing to compare it to.
All part of life, Teresa thought. Even a miscarriage one day at school.
Yeah, I asked the teacher if I could go to the toilet, and she allowed me out. I went to the toilet, and the baby was in my knickers. And I thought it was dead, but it wasn't. It was still moving.
And yet no one at school knew?
No.
Saw anything?
No. Or if they did, they didn't say. No, she was treated for a high temperature, you know, fever, nothing more.
What did she do with the baby?
She kept her for a while because she was frightened that they'd use the child as part of the rituals. So she turned the pencil case into a little coffin. Apparently she put roses in to make her smell sweet, put a letter with her, pictures of herself and her brother, a picture of me.
And then I put it down the chute because I didn't want my nan to get it.
As we said earlier, the police have already charged some members of the cult, and we know they're also investigating Teresa's accounts of those ritual killings. If there were as many as she told us, then the Satanists had a problem. How did they get rid of the bodies?
They had a tub, you know, pretty big, I don't know. A very big tub, and they used to put the bodies and bones in there. And it used to go like, you know, fizzy in it, and then there was nothing left, or there didn't seem to be, but when they cleared it out, there used to be a sludge at the bottom.
Teresa's story, her account, doesn't really surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me in the light of satanic abuse, no.
Do you get frustrated with people who just won't accept that these things do happen?
Yes, because I've worked with murderers in prisons for years. Not that long ago, a boy was found in a forest in southern England without a head. We have no doubt that men can do that. And yet when we start talking about men within Satanism who actually believe in evil and it's the right to express evil, we suddenly have a doubt.
As I was leaving Teresa's place, she handed me this note. It's addressed to the film crew. She says, "Thanks for bothering to help kids like me. I hope it helps." On the other side, there's a poem Teresa made up while she was staying at Nan's place. She calls it "Nothing Left."
Nothing left. I would scream, but there is no voice left. I would cry, but there are no tears left. I'd fight, but there is no strength left.
That was just part of our investigation of Satanism in Britain. We're also gathering evidence about the activities of such cults here in Australia.
Hello, I'm Liam Bartlett. Thanks for watching. To keep up with the latest from 60 Minutes Australia... I surrender.
yes I do. Spirit, I submit to you now.
www.JesusInTheMorningRadio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, New World Son and Sweet Holy Spirit. But I listened to Teresa and I listened to 60 Minutes Australia. I tell you, if ever there was a time to pray, it is now. The scripture says, pray without ceasing. Man ought to always pray and not faint. And we have a lot to pray for. I got a post here from Brother Lewis that Russ Desda has a team of investigators that go after satanic crimes against children. And that's over at https://, you know, the two dots on top of each other, /// www.shatterthedarkness.net/. Again, that is https://, the two dots, one on top of each other, /// www.shatterthedarkness.net/. And I know people think, oh, it's nothing to it. We just giving a little candy out to the children. And, you know, I'm just allowing my children to go out and get as much candy as they can. And, you know, when they get home, I'll look through it and, you know, separate it. And, no, don't do it. If you don't want your house messed up, full of spirits, you don't want your children... There is trust nothing. And watch your children. If you got a grandchild or grandchildren that you can watch over your grandchildren. I know parents get tired, grandparents get tired, aunts and uncles, cousins. Sometimes they have to take a relative's children, the relative die, or the relative is strung out on drugs or something happens, and you get tired. But try not to. Pray your way through and watch over these children, because that's the devil's plan, to get them young. See, if he messed your mind up at a young age, he got you. Yeah, he feel like he got you. But the prayers of the righteous avail as much. And I noticed John Ramirez said this: why would you cheat on God celebrating Halloween? Why would you cheat on God? Now that we know that witches and all of this can work rituals over candy and speak all kind of, we don't want any of that. And we don't want to go trick-or-treating with our children, send them trick-or-treating and cheat on God. Because if it's not good, then it's evil. If it's not good, it's bad. And we serve a God that's good. We serve a God that's faithful. And we want no part of evil. So listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to share concerning Halloween, press that number one this morning and come in and share with us. All right, Brother Jermaine, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Sister Barbara. I actually didn't expect to get on this morning, but I had to run my wife to the airport. I only had a couple hours sleep, so I said, I know what the hell keep me up. Let me see if Jesus in the Morning is on. So, you know, it's ironic, when I just turned on, I heard you talking about somebody, and within a minute, I knew who you was talking about. I heard you mention John Ramirez and his testimony, and, you know, coincidentally, I actually spoke to John Ramirez on the phone about 3 years ago, or probably a little more, because I had heard his testimony, and we spoke. We had some prayer on the phone and was talking about how to get him out here at the church I was going to, because that whole satanic spiritual warfare thing hits close to home, because I had actually a lot of family that practiced a lot of that stuff. And, you know, in the black community, and I guess not just black, but a lot of, like, Southern style, they had this thing with, you know, supposedly, like, you know, putting some kind of hex on you or whatever if you didn't do right, or, you know, some of the older folks who was into this stuff was going to threaten you. They knew how to get you, and, you know, they had all these rituals and things, and they all form a satanic worship. I done seen family members who played with Ouija boards, who had to light spirit candles, and you know, it just went really deep, and it disturbed me as a kid seeing some of these people go to church, and then at nighttime, or if they wanted something special done to somebody, they would participate in these rituals. You know, I even walked in on a couple family members having a real live seance one time, trying to contact the dead, and it scared the living daylights out of me. And that's why I was so confused as a kid, wondering, like, I thought this stuff was bad. What's going on? And I almost ran away from God from it. But, you know, God came and rescued me and showed me the truth about what was in the Bible, what was in his word, how powerful it was, and how it superseded all of that stuff. That stuff is, you know, why would you choose something inferior and evil versus the living God who truly answers your prayers? He may not work on your timetable, but when he gives you an answer, it's like a hammer on a nail. It's done. So I was listening to the young lady's testimony, and it was very disgusting and disturbing. The sad thing is, I've heard similar stuff for years, because ironically, I heard the Church of Satan mentioned, and I actually used to drive by the Church of Satan, because I'm over here in San Francisco area. And I drove by the Church of Satan for years. And the house is still there, what used to be the Church of Satan. The house is still there. And San Francisco is a very beautiful city, but it's a very wicked city. And you got to be very careful. Some of these places, just what they described, there's these houses where you hear this weirdness going on. They got stores that openly call themselves witchcraft. You can actually look it up online. They got Yelp reviews where you can literally walk into a store out here and they sell witchcraft. They'll sell you in. They have practicing witches who run a store. I mean, it sounds like something out of a movie that you would make up, but anybody who wants to check it out can look it up online. It's out here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an actual business with actual practicing people who participate in this stuff. And I was having a disagreement with a couple family members because I know Texas, I heard the young lady talk about abortions. And, you know, for me, that's a special subject because they had, at one point, from what I understood, tried to recommend abortion to my mother for me. And I don't know how many people, how many minorities, black and brown, have been affected by this abortion nightmare that's going on in our country. And I saw people marching and fighting for abortion rights, and some of them are Christian. And I got into an argument with a couple of family members who I care about, and I always hear the same thing, how since I don't have a vagina, I don't have a right to say so. And I said, well, no, that's not true. Because, you know, you're saying you're having a say-so for these people who don't have a say-so. You're making choices for them, and this is evil. And how you know it's evil is in Texas, when they made that abortion rule, they had, of all people out there suing them in court, the Church of Satan is one of the primary people who are suing the state of Texas for abortion rights. They said it's against their rights to choose to do abortion. And I want to tell all the people who call themselves Christian who are on that side, if you got the Church of Satan on the same side of the issue as you as a professing Christian, you on the wrong side, period. You know, there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, yeah, I see a lot of witchcraft in the church, in some of these churches. These people apparently don't believe their Bibles. They don't believe God. So they may not call it satanic worship, but that's exactly what it is at the end. And like I said, unfortunately, I know a lot about this one from seeing so many people around me practice. And I can tell you, every single one of them, not one person ever comes out of that unscratched. If you play with the devil, you're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you play with Ouija boards, people don't understand. That's just an introduction. That's considered child's play to them. That's like the lowest level. But play with something long enough trying to call yourself, quote-unquote, talking to spirits, they're going to test you to see if you're serious. If you're really serious, you will have an experience. The problem is, since you decide to desert God and go off on your own, thinking you're some kind of a spiritual warrior, you're going to get more than you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And, matter of fact, a friend of mine who's in law enforcement, he works at the jails, and he had an experience where it almost drove him away from church because he went to one of those prosperity churches that they don't say nothing bad, and they only talk about money and wealth. And he was there, and he was wondering, is this Christianity thing real? I know there's something out here, but, you know, I'm having these experiences. So his faith actually grew from working inside of a jail, of a prison. Because he said he saw these grown men. He worked a floor with, I believe it was like 50 to 100 men. And somehow or another, somebody got in there practicing some kind of satanic worship. And so at nighttime, he worked the night shift. These guys would get together, huddled around, and they were playing with something. So he would, you know, as he's walking the tier, he would kind of hold his keys in his hand so they couldn't hear him coming so he can surprise people, check up on them. And he found what he thought was paraphernalia, but it was a homemade Ouija board. Now, anybody who knows anything about that, what I'm saying, that's going to go over some people's head, but you can't homemade a Ouija board unless you are deeply into some satanic worship, like you're deep into witchcraft. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even know how to make the symbol. So he thought that was interesting. Well, he said a week later, and I verified this story with him multiple times, and he's listened to your show, has been blessed by it. He said a week later, one day they was banging on that door, and they went down there. What's going on? And he said these grown men, these hard men, you know, a bunch of these brothers locked up, were demanding that they send a priest, a pastor, or somebody, whoever can come in there and have an exorcism to get out whatever they done called in there. Mm. And they all signed a form, about 100 men. They said, whatever is going on, we want somebody to come in here and pray it out of us, because this is too much. We didn't ask for all this. So you got to be real careful when you are trying to play with the devil. It's a fascinating topic. I'm really glad you brought. That's why I love the show. You bring up things that a lot of people think about talking about, but they don't go there. But I know it's helping a lot of folks right now. And I see that the more I hear these stories, even though they're disturbing, the more I see that God's not harsh in his punishments. He's just. He's righteous, and it's a miracle that he don't blow this whole planet up, you know, every day because of the wickedness that we do as men and women. It's just vile. Some of the stuff that little girl described, and that goes on so many places. I done heard so many stories, but you know, it just makes God look that much more appealing to me. And I'm good. I'm gonna roll with him. I'm done with these people. You know, and their little secret groups. They got their little Mason groups, and some got their little Eastern Star groups, all these other, all these secret groups that are really kind of like little cults. Not to say that they all do the same thing, but, you know, anytime you got a secret and you got to practice rituals, you better start checking yourself because you're going to get wrecked.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Listen, Brother Lewis reminded me of something. Going into Orlando, there's a small city called Casadega. A lot of practicing witches, a lot of reading tarot cards and all kind of voodoo and witchcraft. A friend of mine went over there, and because he had come to me, and I told him what the Lord said, but it wasn't good enough for him. Because, see, many times people don't want to obey God because they got to give up something, you know. And he went to them. And when he come back, he was floored. And he said, you know what? I had forgot what happened to me. And he told me what happened to him as a boy. When I tell you, it was devastating to me. I sat there and I listened, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't have no kind of ill expression on my face. But when I left him, I had to pray. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. And I know it brought up some bad stuff for him. But had you taken the word of God and obeyed, you would have been better off than going to those people. I remember coming into Orlando. You could feel a heavy presence. You could feel it coming through there. And as I was coming through there, it just come to me, call on the name of Jesus. And so this lady told me one day, she said, they know you here. They know you are here. Because like you felt they present, they felt the strong anointing, the presence of God, they felt that. Yeah, that's something you do not want to play with. You don't want to celebrate Halloween. Brother Lewis said, hey, Brother Jermaine, you don't want to celebrate Halloween. You don't want your children to be a part of no trick-or-treating. That's not something you want to be bothered with. It brought me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, which says this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Yeah. See, because of this, I look back at Samuel, at the book of Samuel. And if we remember, Samuel had disobeyed God. Saul had disobeyed God. And Samuel, the prophet, had died. And Saul could no longer hear from God. Because he was disobedient. And God took his anointing from Saul and gave it to David. And so what happened is Saul had told all the witches and witchcraft workers and diviners and all these people hey, you got to go, because if I catch you practicing here, I'm going to kill you. It was a decree that come from the king. So Samuel had died. Saul could no longer hear from God. He went to the witch. He asked somebody, listen, are there still any diviners and witches in the land? And they told him, yeah, I know where one is. They sent him over to the witch. This is true. Read the scripture. And Saul got over there, he disguised himself. He didn't dress like the king. And he went into the witch, and the witch tried to get him to eat, and he wouldn't eat. And he said, I need you to do something. And she said, what is it? Bring up Samuel. Listen to this. Bring up the prophet Samuel who had died. And the witch divined that it was Saul, the king. She said, oh, no, you saw the king and you'll kill me. He said, no, I won't kill you. I need you to do this, in other words. She brought Samuel up from the grave. Do y'all hear me? From his resting place, in other words. And when Samuel come up, he said, Saul, what is it that you want? Saul said, well, you died, and I can't hear from God, and I need to know what's going to happen. Samuel told him, he said, well, Saul, by this time tomorrow, you and your sons will be dead. Did you hear that? So now, you can go to these people, and they can bring folks up from the dead. But it's not of God. It's evil and wicked. Do y'all hear me? Have you seen those people that they can talk to dead people and tell the loved one what the dead person is saying? I done forgot what you call that now, Brother Lewis. Okay, he's gone. He had to go. I forgot what you call these type of people. But they talk to the dead. What is called, Brother Jermaine?
Well, they psychics and whatnot, these people who are supposed to be, talking to the dead. I know what they're talking about, but I'm going to let you finish your point. But
these people
are supposed to be able to talk to your having a seance, talking to your dead relatives, supposedly.
Yeah, well, these people, this man, he had a whole audience of people, like he was on a talk show. And he would choose people out of the audience and mediums. Okay, Sister Rita, mediums. And he would tell them what happened between them and the loved one and tell them what the dead loved one say to them. I said, no way, Jose. I want no part of that foolishness. See, because let me tell you, whatever you get from the devil, you're going to have to pay him back. And he always come at a time when you don't have to pay. He always come at a time when you don't have the pay that you could pay and be free. So when he come to be paid and you don't have to pay to be free, then he offer you another solution that's going to keep you in bondage and eventually destroy you. You don't want to cheat on God with this other stuff. You don't want to go to no palm reader. You don't want to burn this and that in your house. You don't want to sprinkle and throw stuff around your house. What you want to do is pray and believe God. Come up in faith, because there is a true and living God that have all power. And he so loved us, he sent his only begotten son. A lot of people have gotten messed up into this stuff. And Brother Jermaine, you talking about working a work is what we call it. In that church, you got a lot of church going. They say they Jesus believe in God, believe in people that work all kind of stuff in the witchcraft world, in the voodoo world, in the black magic world. I'm telling you from experience. I had a cousin, and she told me she was going to help me to make an altar and a money doll
and burn a money
candle. Now, let me tell y'all what I did for her from that day to this one. She dead and gone now. I know that's been over 30 years. From that day to this one, I had nothing else to say to her and nothing else to do with her. If she coming in my direction, I'm headed in another direction. And she used to be looking. I know she was wondering, well, what's wrong with my mom taught me. This is something that you never want to play around with. You don't never want to work this. You don't never want to talk about dressing yourself, burning nothing, shaking nothing, doing nothing. All that oil and water and Almighty God won't do when you pray over water or you pray over oil and you, God bless it, you don't need none of that. I don't even work with oil and water, really. I work with the spirit of Almighty God. It's more powerful than anything, any water, any oil I've ever known.
Amen.
But people get caught up in this stuff, and sometimes it comes from family traditions. Yeah, it's what they've been taught. And I thank God for them two people that brought me here, that Mary and that Prince. I thank God, because Mary told me, no, ma'am, don't you ever deal in that. And I'm going to tell y'all this, and this is the honest truth. Everybody I ever known that dibbled and dabbled in witchcraft and voodoo and all this different stuff, it comes back on their children. And most time their children have a lot of mental health issues. Do you hear me this morning? This same woman that told me about the altar and the money candle and the money doll and all this foolishness, her youngest daughter lost her mind. And she got a couple of more daughters that's kind of weird. Everybody I ever known that played around with witchcraft and stuff, it comes back on the children. Because you're wrong. This is not what we're supposed to do. Especially if you say you believe in Jesus. Especially if you say you believe in God and you in the church. I learned this years ago. He does not need our help. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, Sister Rita, for generations to come. God does not need our help. He's God all by himself. And he's got all power. I told you, back in the day, I was told, not by my parents, but other people, that the Psalms was for your enemies. If you got enemies, you read the Psalms. Well, as God was drawing me to him, he sent me to a church where the man taught me, no, that's not for your enemies, honey. It's for what David went through to show you God is a deliverer. And no matter what take place, God can deliver you. That's what the Psalms for. Because the Old Testament was written for our learning. Yeah. And a Ouija board, that's not what you want to play with because them spirits real. I had a friend named Bernice. We both was members of the Church of Christ. I left the church. And she told me one day her daughter was in college and her husband was having an affair. And she knew the woman's name and everything. And the daughter asked the Ouija board when some college friends was playing with it. Said, well, Ouija, if you real, what's my daddy girlfriend name? And told her the girlfriend name, the real name, the board spelled it out for her. She went and told her mom. Her mom said, don't you ever do that again. Don't you play with that kind of stuff. But people, some people think it's cute. Some people want power to rule over other people. All kind of nonsense. But see, we are covered in the blood of Jesus. We're joint heirs with him. We don't have to go through all of that. We pray and trust God and believe God. I was working for a lady and working for free, doing all I could to help her program. And I couldn't even get her to do nothing for me, to help me in no kind of way. So this particular day, I was fed up and I was going to give her the business. The Lord stopped me. I know she thinks she did, but God stopped me. But she was in the center washing it down with ammonia and chanting. And I'm like, what in the world? After that, I got on up from over there. I could no longer help nobody over there because I cannot be a part of the devil. No, God is my all. He's all I need. And believers, if you're celebrating Halloween, I need you to pray and ask God, is it pleasing in his eyesight? Is this pleasing unto you, Lord, what I'm doing? Allowing my children or grandchildren to go get candy from door to door. And I don't know who giving them the candy and what they practicing. Is it true? Is it all right, Lord, that I decorate with pumpkins with raggedy teeth? I done, done carved it and it's ugly. I got these ghost stuff and all this dark stuff, and I'm watching horror movies. All year long, horror movies is not for the saints of God. You heard what the scripture said. Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we want to put on that whole armor of God that we'll be able to withstand in the day of evil, because that day is here right now. And having done all we can, we're still standing on the word of God. Because let me tell you, this foolishness work. Evil is real. Evil spirits are real. Demons are real. I know you think, I ain't never seen that before. I can't believe that. All right, play with it. I was in a place called Fairbanks, Alaska. I've shared this many times. There was a tall man and a short man. The tall man had beat up the short man the night before. The next day, the short man still had the blood on him. I was talking to some women who said one was a prophet, and they said they went in bars at night downtown and witnessed to the people in the bars. Well, I was talking to them of some foolishness, believe me when I tell you. And the Spirit of the Lord said, look. And when I turned to the right and I looked, I seen the tall man and the short man. And this when the chief had brought all his people up out the village. The same chief that told me he turned away from God and so did his people. So when I looked over there, the Lord said, go over there. I went over there. And as I'm walking towards them and getting closer, I could hear them spirits in his stomach. These demons. She's going to cast us out. You can hear it. I could hear it. I could hear it. And so I waited on the Lord, what to do. I waited on him. He said, lay hands in his midsection and command them out. I laid hands in his midsection because he was smiling at me. He liked me. Oh, he was smiling at me. And, you know, I laid hands. I don't think I even asked him to pray for him, if I remember correctly. Laid hands on that midsection and commanded them out. And I was talking to the chief and the little short man. He walked away from us. Well, when he walked away, there was a river flowing. And it had a rail. You could walk to the rail and look down in the water and that kind of thing. And certain times of year, you could see the fish jumping and stuff. So when I followed him, he had walked over to the rail of the river. And he was leaning over the rail and he was up chucking them things down in the water. Out his mouth. They was coming out his mouth down in the water. My godson, Keith, he said, Grandma, Mama, what is that? Mama, what was that? I said, them demons had to come out. Yeah. I was in a church I raised my children up in, and this lady, oh boy, she was just jumping, and she needed relief, and she was hoping somebody in there would help her. Well, nobody in there evidently didn't pick up on nothing. They kept on with the service as usual. So right when the pastor got ready to get up and preach, she went out on the floor. The Lord said, go look. When I went and looked, she was out. I said, okay. And I went on back because I knew he was going to do something. What? I didn't know. So as soon as church was over, he gave a benediction and everything. And you know how people walk up, hey, I ain't seen you in a long time, da, 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 da. I have no time for that. I said, listen, can I see you for a minute in the bathroom? She said, yeah. So she walked with me to the bathroom. So I let her went in first and I come behind her. And I said, sister, I said, do you really want to get rid of them things? She said, yeah, they tortured me. I want them to go. And they just tortured me all the time. I said, okay. I said, you sure you want them to go? She said, yeah, I want them out of me. I waited on the Lord because you got to wait on it. Oh, glory to his name. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, thank you, Jesus. When he said lay hands on a stomach, these women, about four or five of them, was at the door of the bathroom peeping in there. Wouldn't come in. They was peeping. And so when I said, are you sure you want to let these things go? They was like, yeah. The head went, that's what I'm talking about. Do you really want to let them go? I looked back. Well, why don't y'all come on in here with me and work? They stood at that outside that bathroom at that door peeping in. And when the Lord said, lay hands on her stomach, I laid hands on her stomach and commanded them out of there. She started spitting up these green dark. Oh, it was, the odor was horrific. Oh, my goodness. And I told her to go to the sink and got her some paper towels out and soap there. I say, sister, clean yourself up and you good to go. I walked on out there. So my oldest son, Lonnie, was holding his two twins. He had two twin daughters. And I was playing with the baby. So one lady came to him and said, Minister Holly, who is this lady? He said, oh, that's my biological mother. They was like, oh, no wonder. He said, what did you do? I said, nothing. I ain't do a thing. And I didn't. God did it. I ain't do a thing. And I went on playing with the babies and everything, and I left. Ain't been back. Didn't go back. Next time I went, it was for a funeral. Yeah. The pastor's wife, niece, had died, and I went to the funeral. Yeah, I didn't go back no more because God threw me out of there anyway. I had tried three times to go back. That third time when he threw me out, I said, I can't come back no more. But you would be surprised at what people do. And this one lady, powerful in the church, looks like a witch. The older she get, the more like a witch she look. I say, so this woman must have been practicing for years. Yeah. Practicing for years. And you'd be surprised, pastor wives. Deacon wives, the deacons, sometimes the pastors, choir members, ushers, pew sitters, they working a work. They believe in witchcraft. Yeah, I can't do it. I know better. I know God don't need my help. And nobody else help. He's God all by himself, and he's got the power. Hallelujah. All right, Miss Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you doing?
I am blessed over here.
I'm blessed, too. Boy, we've learned some things today. If we listen, we learn something today.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we don't understand. We do things because it's fun, but sometimes fun can send us down the wrong road. So, Father God, I humbly present myself as one who has chosen to turn away from those sinful ways. It is a choice I made. I have chose to follow you, Lord. Father, help me to stay in my walk to Jesus, because fun can turn into a horrific accident. We can drive fast and be drinking and laughing, but we're having fun. But we can run into something that would change and destroy our lives. Fun can cause us to, we can be great swimmers, but tell ourselves to jump off the highest bridge and still drown. I don't want to do too much fun. I want to get my face lined up with Jesus. We didn't do trick-or-treating in our house. One, my mother said, I don't believe you going in other people's house begging. We don't beg. God provides us everything we need. So we didn't do trick-or-treating, and we didn't give trick-or-treat. He says, I won't give one day that the devil calls Halloween a devil's day in my house. Not one day. He says, we have plenty to eat here. We will not do trick-or-treating and getting candy. We don't bake. God provides. Never let us, and as I got grown and my children came along, Mom, I want to look for a costume. No. The school said we had to have a costume. Well, you coming at yourself tomorrow. I'm going to be the only one without a costume. I says, well, I'll be there with you. Character will be, my name is blah, 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 and this is my mama. We are family. That's my costume. So when I went with them to school, they were so embarrassed. We wore the colors of orange and black, but we was ourselves. We were not a ghost, a goblin, or a witch. I am who I am, and I am a child of the Most High God. This is my costume. Everybody laughed and had a good time because Miss Proud brought cupcakes. But we wasn't celebrating Halloween. We were celebrating we are who we are. Had a great time. And the children loved it. Al, is your mama going to be the Halloween character this year? Al, your mom's going to bring the pizza and we have the Halloween character as you all being yourselves. We did it all the way through sixth grade. We are who we are. We are not a ghost or goblin. I am who I am. And that's what I did all my life, Barbara. I never celebrated Halloween. Now, my grandbaby, he's not being raised by me. However, Nana does it. Grandmama, Nana bought me the most scariest outfit. Oh, okay. But Nana say, you don't do Halloween. No, I do myself. I am who I am. I'm no one else but Jerry Crowd. If you call my voicemail, they say, hi, you reached Jerry Crowd. You haven't reached nothing else. I am who I am. I will not be a Satanism, a witch. I am who God allows me to be. And I don't want to be anything else. Because me representing me, make God knows who I am, so he takes very good care of me. Barbara, there's not a day go by that God does not bless me and my children. Now, whatever anybody else want to celebrate, that's you all's choice. This is America. But I celebrate God, and I am who he says I am. I am the child of the Most High God. I'm not a witch. I'm not a goblin. I am the child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. People feel like that. You know, it's my thing. I do what I want to do. But if we say we're believers, if we say we're the people of God, we're the saints of God, we're Christians, we should follow the things of God and not the things of the devil. And we got to be careful, even with myths and old wives' tales and all this stuff, you got to be careful. Because mm-hmm. you think it's simple and you serving the devil and don't even know it. Masons and what they call these women, Eastern Stars and all this kind of stuff. I know some of these people. And believe me, I told them what I found out. And I told this one and she wanted nothing else to do with me. And I was proud of that, very proud. Because that means the devil had to get on down the road. You understand me? Light and darkness won't mix. Yeah. Light shine in darkness, and God bless me to comprehend that he so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. And anything that's not of him, he won't allow it to hang long. And people don't like the truth today. And especially, you've been in this thing 20 years, and somebody coming to tell you about the origin of it or where it began and all of that, and it's the truth, well, it's too bad. I done invested 20 years. I'm not getting out. I wouldn't care if I invested 50. I'm out of there. Because if God is not in it, I don't want none of it. So we have to be careful. Be careful. I had a friend when I opened Jesus in the Morning confectionery, you know, she was telling me to burn stuff in there and burn out. Oh, this place full of evil spirits and this and that. I thought to myself, it's not this place, it's you. I pray in here every morning. I've even done Jesus in the Morning radio talk show. I anointed this building and set it aside unto God, consecrated it before I came in here. So whatever you feeling in here, it's in you. It's not in this building. And I went on. Yeah. Had a friend named Flower. Flower could pick up on stuff right now. She said, Barbara, it's not the pastor wife. It's his sister that's working witchcraft over there. I said, girl, go on. She said, yes, ma'am. She said, because when I got there and we had prayer, I was waiting on the Lord to speak. She said, and he didn't speak. He showed me. He just told me to look. And when I looked, I could see her. All of this, what this stuff is, they do. The hum your reggae, something of a king or something they do. Buddhism. So you got to be careful. Got to be careful. Because without knowing it, we'll trade our God for another God. And I'm like Jerry. It is your thing. And you can choose to do what you want to do. But for the wages of sin is death. It's the gift of God that gives eternal life. Hallelujah. And we plead the blood of Jesus over anything that's against him. Anything that's not of him. We don't want any of it. We want the things of God. Yeah. Because it would give us abundant life. It'll give us a good life right here on the earth. We're going to go through things. But we realize our trials come to make us strong. And God is on our side. And if we trust him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, pray in all our ways, we acknowledge him. And if we open our spiritual eyes and follow him, he will direct our path. We just can't be wise in our own eyes. We must fear the Lord and depart from evil. The beginning of wisdom, the scripture says, is to fear the Lord. It's a fool that don't fear God, because not only can he destroy the body, he can destroy the soul. Yeah, but we must believe this morning. Hallelujah. If there's anyone else, please feel free to press that number one and come in. Brother Jermaine, if you have something else to say, your mic is still open. And
I actually did have something to say. I don't know if you kept up with what's going on, but, you know, the heavyweight boxer, you know, we just had a heavyweight boxing match with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And the only reason I mention, I know this is not a sports talk show, but I've been keeping up with these two fellas. I used to like the sport of boxing, and Deontay Wilder, that's the brother that, you know, both of them well over 6 feet and bringing just, looks impressive, but I had to start praying for him when I heard him talk, because they were having a face-to-face a couple years ago, and Deontay Wilder was telling Tyson Fury that he was powered by the spirit of his dead ancestors, and he didn't have no real religion, but he was getting strength from their spirit, and Tyson Fury got serious for a second. Tyson Fury, the taller British gentleman, and he said, oh, I see it now. You've already lost because I serve Jesus. He said, I can see what's going on inside you now. I can see the kind of, you know, there was something about you I couldn't pick up, because now I can see it. Now, I'll send this to you a little later on. He goes, but see, my man, you serving the wrong God. And so your ancestors can't help you. He goes, I've already won this fight. And all I'm going to say is, all three matches has ended up with Deontay Wilder receiving you know, a spanking. I'll just leave it like that. And, you know, nobody's perfect. Tyson Fury will say some crazy things every now and then. I think he has a couple of mental screws loose, but I notice he always will point to Jesus for his salvation. And some people have a problem with that, like, well, how could you be an athlete in a combat sport and give credit? It's like, you know what, I don't know how God's going to use who, but all I know is more people will start researching that kind of stuff when they see somebody talking about their actual salvation, not just thanking them for the win, but talk about saving their soul. Every time somebody who's a professing Christian does that, the internet searches on what they said go up. And you don't know what kind of seeds is being planted and how God's going to use those moments. But I pray for Deontay Wilder and those people because I know so many of them. And I heard you talk about them. So many of our folks who I keep hearing about going back to the ancestors and maybe they feel a little more African, but I had to explain to some folks still telling me about my to this day, there's some people who used to tell me my deceased father was visiting them. And they could see him, and I couldn't take it no more. So I started asking questions. And just like you said, when you start bringing up the truth about what they into, you're no longer welcome. I was pretty much politely asked to leave a family member's house because they kept talking about my deceased father to the point where I couldn't take it. I said, you know what? What are you going to do? We're going to stop this. I said, I'll tell you what. I want to know how each one of you people, one of them was an Eastern Star member, I said, how do each one of you people justify this and call yourself a Christian and you going against God's word? How do you do? I just want to know. I'm curious how you do that because you're doing something that is very bold. And they would try and make fun of me and say, I don't have the quote unquote third eye and I couldn't see. And I said, you know what? I don't need to see. I just need to see Jesus. And I said, let me pick up a Bible. I opened up Deuteronomy chapter 18. And, you know, God's very clear, starting from verse 9 to 14 to the end. So people doing these things are an abomination. It's an abominable practice to try and contact the dead. It disgusts God that you would try and do that. And the only time you can find in your Bible where it was allowed, I heard you mention Samuel, you know, that's God allowed that one moment, and that was a warning. There ain't nothing good about trying to contact no dead people. You can't do it anyway. And with Mr. Ramirez and other people, I've known people actually practice this stuff who have become Christians. The scary thing is, like that cult stuff, they don't care if you believe them or not. They're not asking you to believe. All they need from you is your money and a lot of times your body. They can care less what you believe. They're going to practice this witchcraft right in next door to you, and you would never know unless they want you to. But these people that do this stuff, it never ends up good, ever. You know, there's nothing good comes from that stuff. But I see a lot, and I you know, I'm not trying to run the lady down, but I'm sure y'all remember the Montel Williams show. And, you know, Montel would be on there, and they were so proud to see a black man on there. But Montel Williams, he was a little bit confused. He used to have his lady on his show called Sylvia Brown, and she was a psychic, and she would give all kinds of just what you said. People come out the audience, tell them things that would just freak them out, and she was from my area too. And I said, you know, I was talking to one of my parents, I was talking to somebody else paying attention to stuff. I'm like, why in the world do y'all watch this? I'm like, this lady is hustling folks, and whatever, when she's on, when she's hidden or something, that's not biblical. I was like, oh, you don't know. You just don't understand. You ignorant. It's like, yeah, okay, you can call me ignorant, but all I know is what she's doing, and, you know, not according to what I'm reading in my Bible. It don't seem like it's the right thing. And me being nosy, one day I actually called her her organization. Her organization was only 45 minutes from my house. I just wanted to inquire to see something. And I said, well, you know, how much would it cost to have Sylvia do a reading? Okay, so this woman will charge you $650 an hour. Now, all I know is if you want to talk to God, it's 100% free. As a matter of fact, when you don't have the money, that's the best time to talk to God. You know, these people, they're going to rip you off blind. They're going to take every red cent that they can get out your account. And if you didn't have enough money for her, then her son was supposed to have the gift, and he's only half of that. So you pay about $350 an hour. And I say, you know, this is the sad thing that, and I mean this in the nicest way, but I see a lot of black folks getting ripped off by these kinds of people. You know, they have to have this answer from these folks, and, you know, they're going against God. And now she's deceased. I don't know if she saw that one coming, but if you ever notice, all these people who practice these forms of witchcraft, they don't never tell you nothing about the afterlife. They don't never tell you nothing about salvation of your soul. Mm-hmm. They don't never tell you about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. But they love to tell you all these little things you think you want to hear. You know, we'll get you some money, we'll get you some flesh, we'll get you this and that, materials. All that stuff is going to pass away. So what's the point? I mean, unless you're going to use it for God's glory, it's going to rot away and go. So, and just what you said, Sister Barbara, I know people in my own family and other people out of my family. The thing is, nobody would know who people are, but a lot of them were in medical field, of course, they had sentence. They didn't work no low-level jobs. So it just goes to show you, like, spiritually, you can't judge books by their cover. You think somebody's a professional, they've been set in college for all these years, not having any clue that they practice in some form of witchcraft. And every single one of them that I have known, there's turmoil, there's some kind of drama in their house spiritually, and people have had some mental issues. And, you know, I've seen some of the family members that I know who you would consider gorgeous, beautiful women, you know, they can't find a man. They can't hold because they're crazy. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of the crazy. I know the source of it. I'm not trying to be funny, but they wonder what's wrong with them. And I said, well, you're not going to God. You're going to – they still had to read you your horoscope. They still got to mess with the spiritual stuff. And then they wonder why they're getting older and alone. Nobody wants them no matter how good they look. You know, so I wanted to say that. And then also – the people who understand what's going on, pay attention. You see a lot of these celebrities, musicians, a lot of them dropping symbols right in front of people's faces, and they don't even know what they're looking at. You know, they have no idea how much witchcraft is involved in all of these things. So I just hope people would just really seek out their Bibles. I had an experience where I had in-laws coming over. And, you know, when you're married, you got to deal with your in-laws. That could be good or bad, but I had some, and apparently they was into some stuff. It's our whole world saturated with this nastiness, and I had heard, you know, someone who was very respected, who was supposed to be a member of their church. I'm not going to shame him, but he had said that the dead spirit of their relative was around them, and I'm like, no, I can't take this no more. Nah, when my kids are in earshot of this stuff, I gotta go on the offensive. I said, no, not only are they not around, what you don't know is demonic. They're called familiar spirits. Of course they can tell you anything and everything if they've been around for years and years. But, well, you know, I said, if you think that somebody's spirit is still stuck in a coffin somewhere, then, you know, you didn't read your Bible properly. I'm sorry. And they still watch these shows. I have banned in my home because I know what's going on. A lot of people, they don't necessarily know. Some people doing it out of ignorance, and some people doing it because they just open rebellion. They want to, God sometimes seems like he's not working. He seems like he's not listening. He seems like he's not moving. But for those of us who like to pray and read, we find out he's been there the whole time, but he has his way of doing things. You just want a quick answer. But that answer is like a match. You light a match, you know, you get some fire, but it's going to burn out within seconds. But, you know, you go to the source, the sun's going to beam on you. The sun's going to be there for a long time. That's, you know, and I'm talking about the S-U-N, but we need to look at the S-O-N. Because a lot of these folks, they really just want to play God. That's why they're having these, you would think none of this stuff would be popular, and you come to find out they all look at us like we crazy. For doing things like praying and reading from a book and, You know, I've seen people like say good luck. Say, you can say good luck. I mean, I understand the context of what you're saying, but that don't mean nothing to me. You know, good luck for what? But I don't you go to funerals and people have blown sage in my face. I'm like, why are you doing that? Oh, it's for something good for the spirit. I said, okay, well, if you got to do all that, your spirit's like dead burning leaves. You, again, you worshiping the wrong spirit.
Okay.
And there's a lot of these rituals, if people need to, they need to pay attention. I actually got an invite years ago from a former coworker to the same group that John Ramirez had started out in. I wasn't going to touch it, but there's this particular person. I'll just say they wear all white. You know, you see them in different races they meet. They wear all white, and they'll lie to you, tell you that any belief is accepted by them. That's a trap. And Ramirez had confirmed that. It's called Santeria. They wear all white, and they try and look righteous. They say all the right things. I kept getting invited by this lady, kept getting invited. And then another coworker had the same thing and kept coming with the impression, like, why does this feel, like, fleshly? It feels like anything goes once you get there. You can do all you just whatever you feel like you need to do, you can. I said, no, something is wrong with this. And praying about it, come to find out that woman was a confessing priestess, which is basically the equivalent of, you know, like some kind of satanic worshiper. She was a priestess, and she was calling on things when you get there, calling on spirits by name, demons.
Mm.
This is something you would not know, you know, looking at it. They look normal. They look clean. They take care of themselves. And I know another coworker who was curious about the Lord years later. She went in there, the older woman, she ran out crying. Said they were telling her all kinds of stuff about her that they shouldn't even know. So you got to be very careful what you're going to do. You know, whenever people participate in these things, and I hate to say it, but a lot of the a lot of these little rainbow lifestyles, not all of them, because I know some people who are generally been through stuff, but anytime they got to get you to come out of what God designed you to do, you know, you can just indulge in all the sexual nonsense and fleshly desires that you want to. It's just trying to fill you up with a bunch of things that God did not call you for. You know, you think you want that until you get there and find out it's empty. You know, you don't have nothing left after all of that. So I'm just going to leave it there, Sister Bob. I just wanted to throw all that in.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I worked with a guy and his mom owned a shop, and he told me it was a shop that sold stuff for their religious practices of Santa Maria. Then he was Spanish, what they call a Puerto Rican. Then a black friend of mine, Anita, she practiced it too. And she said she would go to the store and buy food and different things she needed. I was like, what? And when she told me that, I kind of eased on away from her too. Yeah, because y'all serving the wrong God. And y'all going to church every Wednesday and every Sunday to my Bible study and all of this. And you don't want to hear the truth. You don't like the truth. You want to please your flesh. You're not trying to please the Spirit of God. Nobody can tell me you trying to please God when you working a work. When you dibbling and dabbling off in witchcraft and voodoo and black magic and all this stuff. Nah, Ouija boards and Halloween and No, you can't tell me you want to please God. He don't need your help. That's evil. That's the work of the devil. Yeah, that's not the work of God. I mean, all kind of stuff, yeah. And but most times when it comes to me, they get away from me. They don't particularly care for me like that because I have to tell you the truth and let the chips fall where they may. And then, you know, most times they running on away from me. Jehovah Witnesses, they don't like talking to me. Maybe we'll stop by another time. I said, well, where have you... Well, we going to come back by. Oh, they getting away from me. I had two come to the door and God used my mouth to prophesy. I wish you could have saw these people. They was like,
Yeah, how do I know? You know I don't know you, and this is your first time ever seeing me. You know it's got to be God. And I told you, I said, listen, no. I have the God that have all power. Yeah. And his name is Jehovah. That's what the word said. I said, but he's not a man. It's not a man-made religion. This God made the heaven and the earth. This Jehovah did. And he ain't put no certain number. He said, whosoever will, let them come. He would open the door for generations that hadn't even been born yet. Yeah. And so, you know, they wanted to run away from the door, and they left. Yeah. Well, go on now, but I tried to give you the truth. Y'all didn't want it. Y'all running. Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. But God is safe. God is safe. You was going to say something, Sister Jerry?
No, I'm just sitting up here. Sometimes you can't get rid of Jehovah Witnesses. But, boy, when you start telling them about, and God saw the light and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, oh, they ready to say goodbye to you, great being.
Okay.
I learned that when I say that to them. Oh, well, we'll stop back by. Thank you. I said, well, you want to talk some more about the Lord? And God now, called the light day, the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day.
Mm-hmm.
That I learned. So when Jehovah witnesses on the motto, that's the scripture I start with them, and they don't want to stay no more.
Mm-hmm. Because, see, you do have to be real careful, because any religion that drives you away from your family, something is wrong with that. Yeah. But the word even said don't entertain them even at your door. You know, don't.
Right.
Don't.
God's word to make them run away. And, you know, they say they don't celebrate Christmas, but if you give them a gift, they accept
it.
Don't get it. Don't celebrate birthday, but you give them money for their birthday, they take it.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at this, Sister Jerry. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Look at this now. Not only that, but Muslims can lie to you. The scripture says, liar won't tarry in my sight. But they can lie to you. Hold what they call the Quran and lie with it in their hands. I'm like,
what can you do all this?
You can still be in the world and be a part of the world, and you're doing what the world do, but you say a lie to God. See, I can't be partake of all kind of craziness. I got to have the God that have all power, and he got rules and regulations put in place for me to live by that's going to keep me safe. The ways of the world won't keep me safe. It'll cause me problems.
Yeah.
But if I go with the rules and regulations in the scriptures of Almighty God, the word that he inspired man to write, it's going to keep me safe. That's why I'm living today, because of the word of God. Yeah. It brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. And I'm grateful unto him. It don't make me some big thing. It don't make me better than no one else. No. I'm just thankful unto him. Hallelujah. And listen, now this morning, those that want to do the contest for saying good morning to the names on the roll call, fresh your number one and come in. And
I'm going to do that, Barbara, because I can't hardly remember my own name.
Okay, well, I think it was Sister Rita, and I think it was Brother Anthony, and I think Brother Frank did it one morning. Yeah. So those people that want to do it, I see by 7:08 today. Good morning to you. God bless you. And always good to see that 7:08 area code. Yes, yes. But listen, I have one request that I'm going to play. And when we come back, if you're ready to do your roll call names, feel free to press the number one. Or if you have something else you would like to say, feel free to press that number one and come in.
Let's
Just the radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah. I just want to praise you, want to bless you forever and ever for all you've done for me. Hallelujah. Blessings and honor and glory. It all goes to him because he's Almighty God. and he's on our side today, in spite of us looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. He allows us to know we can cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Hallelujah. All things must work together for our good. We the head today and not the tail. We above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, but we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that loves us. We can look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. And on our side, hallelujah, the one that made the heavens and the earth, who got all power, is on our side today. Oh, I feel all right right there. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Anthony, coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
Bless, highly favored. Good morning to you, Miss Barbara. Good morning, everybody. First of all, I want to give God thanks for life having strength, keeping my right mind, allowing me to see another day. Thank you for activity of my limbs. Thank you for who he is to me, what he's doing in my life, where he brought me from, where he's taking me. And I'm going to say good morning to you, Miss Barbara. Good morning to Brother Louis, Brother Frank, Sister Glory, Sister Jerry, Brother Jermaine, Brother D, Sister Fionn, Sister Samoa. Say good morning to Ms. Lola Brown, the Foot family. Good morning to you. Good morning to all. I lost his name now. Just good morning to everybody. And, you know, we just thank God again for another day, you know, come together, fellowship with one another and, you know, get some spiritual food and some education spiritually on what's going on and what we need to be aware of. And just thank God for what he's doing in our lives and where he's going to take us in our walk with him. So I'll just say good morning again to everybody and tuning in.
Man. Yeah. Amen. Well, but after that game, you got 10 now. Well, you got 11. You got 11. Yeah, me, Louis, Brother Frank, Brother Jermaine, Sister Jerry, Sister Gloria, Brother D, Sion, Sister Simon, Rose Brown, and the Foot family. Well, that's 12 because it's Angela and Mama, Anna Lee. So you got 12 now. All right, now you get there, Brother Anthony. You get there. Where's Sister Rita? Yeah, where's Sister Rita now? Because it was her idea today. It was her idea. I guess Rita said, I'm going to come back another day. I need a little more time. I need a little more time. Yeah. So it's all in fun. It's all in fun. And I thank God for you remembering the names and we are that faithful few. That's what I call us. And I don't always hear from everybody every day, but at certain times, different ones will say something or call me or write me or something. And I can look forward to that Dr. Goodman. Yeah, I can look forward to that. And Jerry, I can look forward to that. And Sister Andrea Stenner, yeah. But we thank God this morning and want to say good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman and Sister Mary Ann and Sister Rose Brown and Sister Simone and Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, Miss Deborah, Sister Lexis, and Sister Lushia, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, and Sister Sion. Sion is out on a cruise today. You go, girl. And Sister Diane, Sister Jerry, Sister Angela Foote, and Mama, Sister Anna Lee Foote, and Sister Kim Hawks, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hawks, Brother Mike in Orlando, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, and Brother Calvin, and Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, and Brother Marquez Griffin. Yeah, I talked with Brother Marquez a long time yesterday. We had a wonderful time at on the phone. And he showed the pictures of the baby. Oh, you talking about a beautiful five-month-old baby. Oh, that's a pretty baby. And I think he told me his granddad was 90, and they celebrated him. And he and his grandmama took pictures together, and he had me laughing. He told me that his granddad had said, well, if y'all not going to sing happy birthday, I'll sing it to myself. Go ahead, granddad, and celebrate them 90 years. And so he told him he praying to be here another 90. And so that was just exciting. Right there, yeah, another 90. I said, yeah, he can do it now. If God come through, it was 600 and something. Yeah, 900. What is it? 969, I think it was. Yeah. And showed me pictures of him working on the farm. And he worked for Coca-Cola, but he did some work on the farm. And he sent me the rolls, how he had, you know, hold the rolls up and everything. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, the least little thing excites me. It don't take much to excite me and make me happy. And I was telling him, he said, a guy that got it. I think he told me that guy was 28 years old. And his grandmama, I think, left him some land. And he did some things to turn himself around, and he went out to farm that land. I mean, it's beautiful. And so, because I like them small towns, y'all know, I like a small place, you know. Everybody know everybody, and that kind of thing. We ride down the street waving at each other. Hey, Barbara. Hey, Rose Brown. Yeah, I like that kind of thing, you know. Beautiful, beautiful. And so we just thank God this morning. And I don't think I have any more announcements. But I think I'm going to work, hopefully, later on today, if I can, on the website. But the nurse practitioner prescribe me some medication for the knees until I get over to the orthopedic doctor, and it makes me sleepy. And the med make me sleepy. I said, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. I need something to help me. But that sleepy part, I can't be sleep, you know, too early in the day and then too early in the night. Yeah, I won't get nothing done because I'm sleepy. And this weekend, I tried to sleep in both days. That didn't work out. And I tried to do a 3 o'clock show yesterday. I wasn't able to get that done. I had a session, and it lasted a while. So I told the Lord, thank you, and moving on in him. But, yeah, the medication makes me sleepy. And it's for inflammation, yeah, but it makes me sleepy. And you have to eat. You can't take it unless you take it with food. And so we're grateful this morning unto Almighty God and thank him for all that has been said and done and thank him that we're not going to celebrate Halloween. We're going to celebrate Jesus, but we're not going to celebrate Halloween. That's not us. And so we just thank him today. Thank God for Brother Jermaine this morning and Sister Jerry and Brother Anthony calling in and saying something on God's behalf. Thank God for you. Thank God for every caller and every listener. Those of you that come through the podcast, God bless you today. And I thank God for you. And just because I don't see the numbers in the studio, it does not mean that I don't love you and that I don't think about you and that I don't pray for you. Because we are that faithful few, and I pray for all of us, even people that I've never spoken with before or who I don't know, but they come to the show and take a listen. And we have quite a few of those people. They just come to listen, you know. And we thank God for that. Because in this hour, we need the truth. And as Pastor Howell would say, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because that's what's going to last. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we want to follow him. And he's my life. My life is hid in him now. And I'm grateful unto him. So we praying that we will remain faithful unto him and obey his word and learn to love the truth, because I know sometimes the truth hurt. And that's why a lot of times people don't go with it, and even concerning their children, they rather believe a lie than the truth because the truth hurt. But if we learn to love the truth, it will set us free. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And so we're grateful unto Almighty God. And I just believe in staying in the old path, staying with God and not adding to what he already has done and making all kind of new stuff. And God is not pleased. I just don't believe in that. I believe in remaining at the old way. Yeah, going back to the old path as often as I can and remembering the ways of God. Yeah. And so it's all right today in Jesus' name. So if there's no one else, I will pray us out this morning, and we'll have our last song of the morning, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done today. We thank you, Lord, because we love you. We love you this morning. We appreciate you. And Father, we want to do your will, and we want to obey you at any cost. We want to belong to you. We want to be your people, and you're our God. And Father, we don't want to follow the ways of the world, and we don't want to feel like it's our thing, and we do what we want to do, because we realize you don't accept the flesh, or it's your spirit, because you know your spirit. And Father, the flesh can say one thing and do another. So we're grateful unto you for your love for us, and Lord, for our love for you. As we depart today, Father, lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake. Lord, help us to understand better and give us a spirit of obedience like never before, that Father, we'll obey your word at any cost. Father, today, those that stand in the need of finances, those that stand in the need of a home, God, transportation and food and clothes, whatever it may be today, we know that you are a supplier of need. And Lord, you are our shepherd and we shall not want. So, Father, we ask this morning, touching and agreeing, that you would move in a mighty way for your people this day. Lord, we know you to be a right now God, and many of us, we need you right now to move on our behalf, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your many blessings, and Lord, we are looking to the hill constantly from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from you, Father. You made the heavens and the earth. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise this morning, and we thank you for what you're doing right now concerning our request, our petition unto you. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering this morning. And we give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Father, as we depart, bless our going out and our coming in today. Continue again to meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask all of this morning in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hey, glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for opening doors and making ways for your people. Father, we thank you for bringing clarity to your people. We thank you this morning. We can't say thank you enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We ask it again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, October the 11th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So we're going to our last song of the morning, and after the song, I won't be coming back today. Have a blessed day.
God's been good.
God's been good to
me. Up, down. Everybody sing.
God's been good.
I want to tell you that God
has
been good. Everybody say, all of my life. Come on, giant, say. All of my life. My
Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
If he's one of the fix it.
Jesus.
Somebody say he'll fix it.
Jesus.
Has he ever fixed it for anybody?
Jesus.
Let me see you wave your hand.
Jesus.
Somebody say
Jesus.
Oh, oh, oh.
Nah.